is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague and friend, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill, to comment what we know so far about the plans for the Winter Olympics in Beijing. Gordon, as of now, this is a story that is in headlines around the world, but there's no clarity. Is there a conversation at the Olympics committees, the International Olympics committees, about changing in some fashion the Winter Olympics? Is that conversation ongoing or is it entirely outside?
John, they've recently had that conversation and they unanimously came to the view that the games should stay in Beijing. They start on February 4th and the IOC believes that there's no reason to move.
We welcome Steve Yates, the CEO of DCI Advisory, former Deputy National Security Advisor in the Bush White House, because he published a piece some months back, calling for a major consideration of the Olympics for Beijing for 2022. Since then, of course, we've had the tragedy of the tennis star. Steve, a very good evening to you. Has the tennis tragedy changed any opinion whatsoever to your measure about the Olympics for Beijing?
Well, John, I do think that the story about the tennis star, the allegations of sexual harassment or worse, together with, I think, the activism of Enes Kanter Freedom now, have in some ways fundamentally changed the publicity level about the upcoming Olympics and what considerations there may be. There, of course, as the timeline draws short, coming up on the February start, there's going to be a lot of inertia that goes forward to say, let's just keep the games where they are. My counter argument would be that when the last Summer Olympics were coming around, they waited until close to that time in order to plan for a year because of the impact of a pandemic virus out of China. And that led to a year-long delay of the Olympics in Japan. My argument is that something similar should be done for health, human rights, and I think other rational reasons that perhaps they should delay the Winter Olympics, but they should also move the Olympics to a more appropriate venue. And given China's unfriendly financial and other impact on Japan's last games, it only makes sense that Japan could host the next Winter Olympics instead of China, even if it needed to be moved until 2023.
I have this from AP out of Beijing, sports writers. WTA President and CEO Steve Simon did not set out to lead the way for how sports should confront China when he announced that the women's tennis tour would suspend tournaments because of concerns about former Grand Slam doubles champion Peng Shuai well-being. Is this a change in the weather, Gordon, from what was before about the Olympics in Beijing? Is this a suggestion that something major has happened?
I think there is a change in the weather, and we've seen this because Beijing has now arranged two phone calls between Peng Shuai and the International Olympic Committee. And Peng would never have called the IOC on her own. The IOC has not been supporting her. And the only reason why there would be this phone call is that Chinese officials believe that there's a chance that the games might be moved. And they want to assure the IOC that Beijing is going to be very difficult with them if they do that. And so I think that there is a possibility. This is a dynamic situation, and we don't know where this will end. At this moment, John, you could say that it's not probable that the games will be moved, but who knows what the situation will be next week.
Steve, help us understand the larger picture of this contest between the Olympics Committee, Beijing, and all of us reading these headlines. Does this have meaning beyond just what happens in February? Is this a significant change?
Well, the Chinese government would take it very, very seriously if there was a move to delay or migrate the games out of China. They place a great deal of value in having the propaganda show of the world coming to them, being able to control the narrative, being able to highlight or accentuate what they see as the positives of their system. And they're in a full court press about this. There's been reporting circulating in Washington for some time that the Biden administration would move forward with a diplomatic boycott of the games. That appears to be rolling forward this week. We have several U.S. senators, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and some other leading figures now moving from the category of something must be done to calling for an all-out boycott, not just a diplomatic boycott, but a commercial boycott and keeping our athletes from going to the games. And so I see the narrative moving a great deal, and Beijing would object strenuously to all of this because it would vastly undermine some of the propaganda value in propping up the CCP in the eyes of their own people.
Gordon, I read from Newsweek most recently, China has responded to reports that the Biden administration will announce a diplomatic boycott of the 2022 Beijing Olympics over human rights concerns, and saying Monday that it, the Chinese government, would take countermeasures if necessary. More wolf warrior, Gordon. What backs this up?
Well, Beijing's threat of a firm countermeasures, quote unquote, is something that they've done in the they've threatened in the past. Most of the time, John, they don't follow through. This time, I think that they actually will, because Xi Jinping, as Steve has said, he realizes there's a lot at stake. But because China really needs the United States right now, even more so than usual, certainly needs the U.S. much more than we need them. I think that these countermeasures, when they're imposed, are going to be pretty mild. They won't be consequential, and they won't last a long time.
You have a question for our friend Steve, Gordon.
Steve, the other Steve, Steve Simon, has pulled the Women's Tennis Association events from China. But what's really interesting is that although Beijing in English complains about it through their propagandists, they're not allowing the Chinese people to know that that has happened. And that really puts the regime in a very difficult position. Your comments.
I do think that they try to play this game of controlling the narrative, especially in Chinese and on their own distribution channels. But as hard as they try, messages in English make their way into China pretty widely. And a lot of Chinese people are very proficient in reading those messages. And so I think it's not like trying to blank out discussion about Tiananmen Square, something that they seem to have had some success with over the decades. This is something that surely is going to seep in. And my sense is that this is extremely sensitive to them. There is a great risk of a dam breaking open where people discover a conscience and an option to act on that conscience. And if the Tennis Association for Women is able to do this, there should be mounting pressure on the Tennis Association for Men to follow up. There should be pressure on other sports associations. There should be pressure on other industries. And I sense that we're at the beginning of that snowball, and Beijing should be very, very concerned about that.
And Steve, I immediately endorse your observation. Something has changed. Is it significant enough? You've watched this for 20 years, much longer than I have. Would you have imagined this when you were in the Bush administration debating X-ing out the Chinese Communist Party?
Well, we had some debates along these lines. Some of us may have been in a minority view at that time. The world tended to be divided between those who had personally witnessed some of these profound abuses and perversions of the government structure within China, and those who I think adopted what former columnist Jim Mann called the soothing scenario of expecting engagement and globalization to moderate China over time. So we had some beginnings of this. I frankly believe that there would be more of this open debate and pressure when the Summer Games came around for 2008. And I have to confess, I was a bit disappointed that there was really limited momentum around that time. I sense that it's different at this point, but Beijing also is prepared militantly to try to resist. I just believe in 2021 and 2022, their ability to resist is less effective than it was in, say, 2008.
We have less than a minute, Gordon, if you have a quick question.
Steve, as all of this is going on, the Chinese economy is stagnating. There's a debt crisis. It seems to me that this would also affect opinion on Peng Shui, the Olympics, and all the rest of it, right?
We're coming close to what classical Chinese historians and political scientists would refer to as a mandate of heaven event. The COVID situation in China is not over. There is still significant health risk within China and significant restrictions on mobility. The financial bailout of Evergrande or anything remotely like it will take tremendous resources and adopt significant risks. The changes in the employment structure, supply chains, all of these things, it just seems to be mounting toward some kind of a significant mandate of heaven moment. And for those who haven't studied the classical Chinese periods, that is the moment where the public, almost on a dime, just arrives at a realization that the mandate is lost, the emperor no longer rules all under heaven, and a dynasty changes. And the Communist Party dynasty seems on the verge of that.
Steve Yates, DCI Advisory, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.